This is Rainmaker FM, the Digital Marketing Podcast Network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Hi, and welcome to this edition of the PR is Dead podcast. I'm your host, Doyle Albee. You know, for the last couple of weeks, we've talked about things you can do and some things that you shouldn't do with a reporter. And again, let me remind you that when I say reporter, I mean a reporter, a blogger, an editor, a TV news anchor, et cetera, et cetera. But this episode, I thought it would be fun to not just take my word for it. So I'm excited to have Lisa Rickman, who's the online editor for Colorado Biz Magazine. And Lisa accepts, and as we'll hear, sometimes rejects, lots and lots of contributions from people just like you that want to write for Colorado Biz. And I'm really excited that she's agreed to spend some time with us today and talk about what she likes and, just as important, what she doesn't like, so you can get some good news of your own. All right, Lisa Rickman, thank you so much for joining us on the PR is Dead podcast.
My pleasure, Doyle.
Well, first, could you give us a little bit of an idea of what is your day like as an online editor there at Colorado Biz Magazine? I know it used to be that deadlines were kind of more set and static. They came every 24 hours for a daily paper, but in the online world, they seem to just flow with the news. Can you tell us what vehicles you're responsible for there at Colorado Biz and give us a little bit of an idea of your daily workflow?
Sure. I'm responsible for editing and soliciting all content that we use online, including our magazine content. I upload and put that out there. And then I also work with Colorado Biz has, I think we have now over 730 writers who I work with, not all of them all the time, but 730 people who write for us from time to time. I am constantly getting new content from people, referrals from existing columnists. And so this stuff comes in on a rolling basis, Doyle, just like you said. It's kind of a nonstop process.
We've spent some time on our podcast talking about ways that somebody who has maybe never done this before could get someone like you to publish an article or to accept an idea. So, you know, and I know this is every editor is going to be a little bit different, but what do you look for in a pitch for a contributed article and how do you best like to be pitched?
You know, I get pitches from individuals. I get pitches from PR firms, representing business people. I get pitches from freelancers. And basically, you know, Colorado Biz, as the name implies, is very much about Colorado business. So that's the first thing that I look for. I really want something that's very Colorado-centric. Either the business has to be based here in Colorado, the individual, the writer has to be based in Colorado. There needs to be a good, strong Colorado connection to begin with. And then I'm looking for something that would be of interest to our readership, who tend to be business people. They are everyone from great young professionals to CEOs, folks in the C-suite, and we're looking for things that are going to appeal to them. So business insights, advice, tips, how-tos. What we really don't want, Doyle, is we really don't want something that's very self-serving, something that really comes across more as an advertising piece, if you will. It needs to have substance, and I think that's probably the bottom line.
So what are the most common mistakes that you see either in a pitch or maybe you accept a pitch and then when the piece comes through, you know, you talked about, you know, it can't just be the three reasons you should hire my public relations agency, for example. But what are some of the other real common flaws that people make that cause you to turn down either a pitch or a piece?
All right. So the main problem that I do see is articles that come in that really are not articles at all, but are in fact solicitations for business, essentially. That's the main problem. And then the next thing that we see are pieces that are just too technical. It really needs to be very conversational. That's pretty much the main thing that I'm looking for. Not everyone is a great writer, and I know that. I do have some columnists who are just fantastic writers and are great at weaving in anecdotes with good, solid business advice. That's sort of the pinnacle for me, is finding someone who can do those things very well. But I'll work with anybody who has the desire and the knowledge that might be of benefit to our readers.
Talk to me a little bit about the volume, Lisa. We talk about that on the podcast. And, you know, I reinforce to people that, you know, you probably get dozens, if not hundreds, of emails and pitches every single day, some better than others. But have I been telling them a true story that you are almost overwhelmed by your own inbox some days?
Yeah, maybe not for the reason you just stated, Doyle. That might be true, though, about the inbox. No, actually, you know, I'm not fielding that many pitches or articles. I'd say it's a steady flow. I have my regulars. I have folks who are contributing weekly or biweekly or monthly. And so I'm looking for those. And then I'm getting pitches all the time from other folks. It's definitely not an unmanageable flow on most days. I certainly can handle it. And I'll tell you what, from my perspective, I want content. So I would rather have an inbox that is full to bursting than be kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel, if you will. Good. I think I hit a happy medium between
Perfect.
Those two things.
Well, you just reinforced my podcast. I've been telling people how to do this, and it would have been awful if you said, that's it, no more. I don't want any more pitches. Go away. I'm full up. So you're reinforcing that there's opportunities out there.
Never. I think if you look at the internet, the main thing that people are really hungry for is good content. And I have to say, I feel really blessed at Colorado Biz working with the great writers that I do work with. I just have some fantastic content, and I'm really fortunate that way.
That's great. I'm so glad to hear that. So, it, you know, you talk about people that write for you regularly, and I think that's, you know, kind of nirvana if you're a business person, if you can get kind of a regular gig, so it's, you don't have to kind of start from scratch every single time. So if someone writes for you and does a good job, does that kind of move them up on your list a little bit that, you know, they did it once, they did it twice, and, you know, I can kind of count on this person? Is that helpful in the long run for you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If you have folks listening out there who are interested in getting their name and their background and their company in front of, you know, 15,000 Colorado business people every single day, they definitely should send me a pitch and a sample. Those folks who I've had some amazing writers who have just come from referrals from people who've been writing for me for a while. And if they're good, they have good, solid writers, and they have that knowledge where they can keep, you know, cranking something out every week. For example, my weekly people get priority. They get, you know, they can pick a day that they want to appear. They're going to get special treatment because they're my bread and butter. So absolutely.
Let me ask you the opposite question then. What could you see come through your inbox? You know, maybe one time you get a mistake, the second time you get a mistake, but what are some of the most common things that kind of get you crossed off Lisa's list and you don't really get consideration much after that?
Boy, that's a really tough question, Doyle, because I'm a very forgiving person. Truly, I am. Really, I am. Usually, people don't get crossed off my list. Generally, what happens is people kind of fall off the list of their own volition. That's generally what happens. I mean, I've had a number of writers I've been doing this for 5+ years, and I've had a number of writers over the years who were steady and regular writers. And then, you know, they just got super busy or something else occupied them, and they basically stopped writing. And that's, you know, that's okay. I mean, I sort of feel like because the deadlines are rolling and things are very flexible, I just want people to contribute when they can, when they feel up to it. And if they need to take a break, that's fine too. And they can come back and jump right back into it. Really,
well, that's
truly.
Great. I should have picked on somebody crabbier for this first interview. Here. You're going to make everybody think this is easy, but you and I have worked together quite a bit, and I will echo all of that. You've been just wonderful to work with, so I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Just a couple more questions, but I always want to reinforce to people that a reporter's job is not easy. You've got deadlines, you've got commitments. If somebody doesn't come through for you, it really messes you up. And maybe you can talk a little bit about your workflow. So when you are, you know, if I were to, for example, send you a pitch and say, I'd like to write about this, and you say, that'd be great. And I say, I'll have it to you next Wednesday. And it doesn't happen. I know you've got a lot of other contributors, but I know sometimes you want to plan maybe an email edition because you do the email product right there, Colorado Biz too. And so maybe you want to do, you know, four or five articles around a central topic. And if somebody drops the ball on you and doesn't come through, it can kind of mess up your editorial calendar. And I'd love you to just kind of help people understand why it is so important to meet those commitments, just like a professional journalist in very many ways.
Well, and okay, so you bring up a good point, Doyle. Obviously, you know, follow through is important, but I do a newsletter every single, you know, 5 days a week. And so I always need new content for that. And if someone says, you send me a pitch and you say, okay, if you like this, we can have it for you by X date. That's fine. But you know what? I've learned not to count on it. I really have. So I think it's the people who follow through and actually do what they say they're going to do are people who obviously they're going to be in my hall of heroes, if you will, but it's one of those things where I remain flexible at all times. If somebody misses a deadline, I may have to scramble a little bit, but I'm going to do it. I mean, I have to have things, I have to have contingency plans. I always have a plan B, Doyle. I always do, because sometimes things happen.
That makes me feel better. I don't think I've blown a deadline on you, but I know that I've got, I won't get crossed off your list if I do. So, you know, I'd like to close with maybe one thing, and this might be putting you on the spot a little bit, but I'm wondering if there was ever a really pleasant surprise. And I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. We spoke a couple of episodes ago about, let's say that you're, let's say you own a daycare, for example, and you, want to, you know, there's a big storm coming and you might pitch somebody like yourself and say, hey, here's three great ideas to entertain your kids when the power goes out and I can't just pop in a Disney video. What's kind of the biggest surprise where you open an email and thought, what is this person possibly going to write about? And it turned out that it was something that you wouldn't have typically expected for a biz magazine like yours, but it turned out to be a really pleasant surprise, whether it was just a one-off or even, you know, somebody that became a regular writer for you that probably isn't something that you would have expected just opening your email.
Okay. Well, you know, I had a writer a while ago who hasn't written for me for a little bit. I think she got waylaid for some reason, but she was a chef. And I remember thinking, I don't know, you know, what's a chef going to write about that's going to be consistently interesting to a bunch of business people? And she did, it's Chef Laura, it's her name, and she did an absolutely masterful job of weaving humor and her cooking experience and business insight. And it was wonderful, and people just ate it up. They truly did. They literally did. They loved Chef Laura. And I wish she'd write for me again, because I really miss the great recipes she had for amazing columns for us. So yeah, that was definitely a wonderful surprise. Truly. Perfect.
Well, that's great news. Well, Lisa Rickman, online editor for Colorado Biz Magazine, thank you so much for chatting with us today.
Absolutely my pleasure, Doyle.
So in the spirit of don't just take my word for it, you heard some great advice from Lisa Rickman, the online editor of Colorado Biz Magazine. And one thing I will say, a thought that I'd like to leave you with on the heels of that interview, is that not all editors are as nice and forgiving as Lisa is. And I can tell you from working with her that what you heard is very much what you get. But there are some people that will cross you off the list after a single mistake. It's unfortunate, but it's real. But I think the takeaway I'd like each of you to come away with is, when you have the opportunity to get some good news for your company or for your business, make your commitments, meet those deadlines. You just never know when you're not going to get a second chance. But you can also hear on the good side, Lisa talking about people that come through again and again, get priority in those publications. So do the best thing that you can do and make yourself a priority writer for an editor whenever you've got the chance. So like every week, we're going to end with a quote on the media. And our quote this week comes from President John F. Kennedy from February of 1962. He was talking about Voice of America Radio. And his quote is this: "We are not afraid to entrust the American people with unpleasant facts, foreign ideas, alien philosophies, and competitive values. For a nation that is afraid to let its people judge the truth and falsehood in an open market is a nation that is afraid of its people." With the election coming up, I think that's some pretty interesting advice. So once again, thank you for listening. If you'd like to reach out to me, please feel free to do so. My email address is doyle.albee@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter, @DoyleAlbee. And if you like what you hear, drop onto iTunes and give me a few stars and maybe leave a review or tell me what you'd like to hear more of or less of. And until next time, I hope you get some good news. Thanks for listening.